listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, I want to analyze critical key events in the United States of America, the European Union, and really most of the nations in planet Earth. And there's a sense of urgency and seriousness on my part that many of you have talked to me about and asked me why. And the reason for the escalation of the intensity of some of my commentary during the last month or two especially, that is the result of my observation of a growing number of potential disastrous, and I want to emphasize potential events happening on the horizon, but even though they're potential, they exist within the realm of possibility. So I don't know what the ratio is, you know, is it a 1 in 10 chance, a 1 in 1,000 chance or whatever, but I'm talking about things that are most likely in a high percentage rate. The possibility that some of these disastrous events could happen is in a high percentage rate. And we need to be proactive. We need to know what's going on before it happens. And that doesn't mean turning your brain off and just emptying your head to somebody. And I'm not knocking people who are prophets, so don't get bent out of shape. I'm simply saying is that we certainly seem to have a whole lot of prophets in America right now and the rest of the world, prophets that seem to miss it prophetically on a regular basis. Here's a case in point, and again, my emphasis here is not to pick on, target, or denigrate anybody in a legitimate ministry. The question is the ministry legitimate or not? So for at least a year prior to the COVID epidemic, and that so far has been the largest pandemic in human history, it has been probably the largest cataclysmic event in human history, because it's been a global pandemic, and it has affected the lives of they can't even count the number of lives because they can't count the number of lives. Sorry, I slipped that up, but it was a Freudian slip. I interchanged the words lies with lives. They can't keep up with their lies, and they're fudging on the actual numbers. But any way you slice it, it's a massive number of people that have been injured or killed directly by the COVID virus, or indirectly by the vaccination. And I was going to say other procedures, but basically there are no other procedures. You have been told from on high, and I'm not talking about God's throne from on high, but you've been told from on high governmentally that you, if you get the coronavirus, that your choice is, imagine going into a restaurant where they offer you a menu and you look at the menu and go, well, where's all the choices? And the waiter comes or the manager comes and you speak to the manager of the restaurant. And you say, you should have such great food here. You had so many choices. All I see is one item on the menu. And then the owner of the restaurant tells you that, well, because of the new regulations that are now in effect, the only food item we can serve you is this one particular food item. And therefore, we only have one food item on our menu. And unfortunately, if you don't want that food item, we can't help you. So in effect, you're not given a choice. You're not allowed to use your common sense. You're not allowed to use your intelligence. You know, there are a lot of doctors speaking out in alternative media who are like staggeringly qualified. And when they talk, it's obvious after listening to them after they've talked for 15 minutes, these are high, high level doctors who really know what they're talking about. And when you cut to the chase, and these doctors would reiterate that, when you cut to the chase is you are allowed, basically, your choice for treatment, if you think you have COVID or are dying from COVID or whatever, your choice for treatment is get the vaccination. Now, you don't have any other choice. And there are other things. Okay, let me issue a disclaimer here. I'm not a doctor. Everything I'm saying now should not be misconstrued as a medical opinion or medical advice in any sense of the word. And you really have to be careful in today's society, because if you say something and somebody doesn't hear properly what you said or whatever, they run off and they act on what you said, and then they would attempt to blame you. So I am always super careful whether my colleagues or not choose to be careful. I am always super careful, and I will always repetitively bring to the attention of the audience that, number one, I'm not a doctor. I don't give out medical advice, and nothing you hear me talk about or discuss, nothing, should be construed as medical advice. Okay? So if you have a medical problem, don't blame me, because I warned you, really exhorted you very strongly, and reminded you very strongly that I'm not a medical doctor. Therefore, ultimately, because I'm not a medical doctor, I don't have the same status and opinion. And that would go for anybody. If somebody hasn't gone through medical school, et cetera, just because that person is smart and knowledgeable does not mean that what they say should be taken as medical instructions or advice. Okay, but I have heard many medical doctors talk about this, and you're probably familiar with, you know, alternative treatments like ivermectin, and I think you pronounce it quaxichlorine, and a whole bunch of other ones. And some of these other alternative treatments have been around for 50 to 60 years. Okay, so they have been essentially thoroughly tested. And one wonders, what is the motivation of any governing body? If your motivation is to help the people and keep people from dying, and keep people from dying from the treatment, if one had integrity, and I'm asking this as a hypothetical question, if one had integrity and one had a desire in the core of their being not to harm your patients, do no harm to your patients, I think is a paraphrase of the medical oath. And if your treatment is harming patients, killing patients, seriously impacting their health in negative ways, that's a problem, don't you think? So if I had a choice, now I'm speaking hypothetically, you don't know anything about me and what I have done or what I have not done in terms of vaccination or no vaccination and all the related subjects. And that's has been done on my part deliberately. So I'm not giving you my opinion because I don't want people acting on my opinion as if it was a medical advice. But I will share with you the medical advice of doctors. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I'm going to discuss with you what I have heard are the pros and cons, and many of them you may well be well aware of. So let's just start with like ivermectin, voxiclorine, and a couple of other ones. Those treatments that were primarily used to treat other problems, like one was used in certain horse problems, one was used environments that had certain diseases that were spread by mosquitoes, etc. And so they used these for decade after decade after decade. And when they experimented by using a number of these medicines or whatever you want to call them, they discovered that they were incredibly powerful in terms of either protecting you from COVID or substantially minimizing the negative effects. That's important. And that these substances that can, according to many doctors, powerfully serve as treatments for COVID, they've been around 50 to 60 years. So there is a massive body of literature, evidence, medical documentation that is widely available so that people know the pros and cons of these different treatments and medicines. They know the problems and they know the things that are good because, bottom line, they have been thoroughly tested or almost thoroughly tested. Now, this is the way my mind thinks. I would bet on something, hypothetically, I would bet on something that has a long-term track record of use and a long-term track record that reveals everything negative about a particular medicine or treatment, but it also reveals everything positive. I'd look at the data and I'd make up my decision. Okay. As somebody who, I'm not a scientist now, I don't pretend to be a scientist now, but when I was a young boy, I wanted to be a scientist. So I thoroughly made myself familiar with the scientific method, or at least the real scientific method, which the real scientific method is you must find empirical evidence to prove your scientific theory. So if you assert that a particular chemical or a particular medicine reduces the severity of COVID or keeps people from getting COVID or whatever, if you make that assertion, you must be able to provide for many, many, many years, not just 1 year, sometimes for decades, you must be able to provide empirical evidence is scientific evidence that hasn't been tainted by prejudice, by bias, by politics, et cetera. Scientific empirical evidence that scientifically proves that these assertions regarding certain compounds and medicines and medications are effective in either reducing COVID or keeping people getting from COVID or whatever the claims are. You have to be able to back it up with empirical scientific evidence. And our government, when its procedures are followed as they were intended to be followed, are very strict, and they were designed to be very strict to help the American people. But what we have now is numerous departments within our government, high-level departments within our government, high-level departments within the United Nations, most specifically WHO, the World Health Organization, that are not abiding by their own policies. They're not abiding by their own demands for empirical scientific evidence. So they allowed this vaccine to be released, and at best it had something like only a year's testing, but I don't even think it was really a year. And it was brought to the marketplace, and it was brought to the average consumer through doctors' offices, et cetera, et cetera. And they were told by these powers that be that, you know, the various vaccinations that are made by the big pharmaceutical companies, they were told from on high that these are the only effective treatments for the COVID virus. But as it turns out, there's no scientific empirical evidence over a long period of time to substantiate those assertions. These big shots in the United Nations, in the medical associations, in the CDC, and everything else, they did an end run around their own rules and regulations and simply rubber-stamped an approval over the vaccinations. But the vaccinations were never fully vetted, never fully tested. And so you have, I guess by now, hundreds of millions of doses distributed around the world, injecting people and other means of getting the COVID vaccination into their brain and body and bloodstream, et cetera. So they've vaccinated, you know, a large percentage of the people on planet Earth without ever adequately testing, without doing due diligence, without abiding by the scientific method. So now, certain period after the vaccinations occurred, and they're still occurring, you all saw it. It wasn't just a random occurrence. There was a very puzzling, a very quizzical deluge of all kinds of people that were otherwise physically fit or exceptionally physically fit, who right on national TV were dropping dead from the COVID vaccination. Not the COVID virus, but from the vaccination. And most specifically, the notable people that were dropping dead were people, men and women, who are in the high-end athletics industry, who are, you know, people like Olympic swimmers and Olympic contestants and professional football players and baseball players and basketball players. All of these people, because of the nature of their sport, you have to be in tip-top shape. You are examined on a regular basis by the best of the best medical doctors, because in many cases, you may be an athlete, a football player, a baseball player, basketball player, or whatever, and the company that owns your team may have spent millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to buy you as a professional athlete, and you're an investment to them. And there's no way on earth that a businessman who invests millions upon millions of dollars to purchase you as an athlete for his term, for his team, they don't slough this through. They get, believe me, they give you incredibly intrusive medical examinations. They want to know if you have a potential problem medically in any area, whether it's sinews, bone, tendons, tissue, if it's your brain, your capillaries, your heart. They go through you with a fine-tooth comb because they want to know in advance whether you may have a potential medical problem that could erupt at any time. And if you drop dead on the playing field, you're going to cost them countless millions and millions and millions of dollars. So they're eating the best food nutritionally for what they do. They're regularly being trained physically for what they do. And they're constantly being subjected to a series of very exotic, very expensive, the highest medical tests available. Because nobody wants to play games with professional athletes who are being paid astronomical amounts of money. So you were watching TV, perhaps I was watching TV, and we saw, at least most of us have seen, perhaps we weren't watching the live game when it happened, but most of us probably watched the news footage that was shot later, and you and I both saw with our own eyes athletes in the prime of their youth, athletes in top quality physical shape, athletes that were examined and ready to go, and they'd get out on the playing field in all kinds of sports. They weren't doing any illegal drugs. They weren't doing anything illegal with steroids. They weren't doing anything that could possibly harm their bodies. And you saw it and I saw it. They dropped dead on the playing field. They dropped dead on the playing field. You say, well, that's only two or three. No, it wasn't only two or three. I don't know what the total count is, but statistically, it was a huge amount of people, considering that these people are supposed to be, in terms of health and strength, they're supposed to be the elite of our society in terms of their health and conditioning, etc. And they were dropping dead right on the basketball, baseball fields, etc. Now, what made it also interesting was the fact that the accusations and the critics of the vaccines had been complaining about what they believe is the fact that the vaccine was killing more people than the virus, that the vaccine was really the killer. And what they were talking about was that there was a high percentage of people, and supposedly they vastly expanded the age range. It was once thought that only, middle-aged adults and up were in potential danger from the vaccine. But as it turns out, it could be young children, okay, or young kids that are vulnerable from the vaccination. And so they discovered that there were several critical problem areas. One is the problem in the entire pulmonary system. So that would include people who got the vaccination, and at first, they don't know it, but there is a record that a certain percentage of people that got the vaccination, a certain percentage would develop acute or dangerous or potentially serious medical conditions involving their pulmonary systems and other key systems in the body. Now, the pulmonary system, of course, is the heart, the capillaries, the arteries, It's the pulmonary system is the blood flow system in the human body. So you have these guys that don't have cholesterol, you know, dangerous cholesterol, that they're in the prime of their lives, they're exercising, they're like Superman and Superwoman, and they're dropping dead on the fields of America with pulmonary disease and heart attacks and the epidemic now of blood clots, little blood clots never seen before, such as microscopic blood clots in the brain, and I don't know the medical term for it. There is, you know, we have the arteries and the blood vessels, etc. But then, even smaller than that, we have, again, I don't know the medical name of these, the whole set of super, super tiny capillary-like structures which carry blood to all areas of the body. So all of a sudden, there are blood clots and problems occurring with the whole pulmonary system in a high percentage of people in terms of microscopic blood clots, aneurysms, little bubbles in the brain, bubbles in the heart. Any area where blood is being transported to the body, there's these totally unnatural obstacles and blockages that are causing heart attacks and all kinds of deadly stuff. Okay, well, there's, you know, there's total denial, but I would ask the question, wouldn't you? And I would be careful as to who I ask the question to, by the way. But I would certainly ask the question regarding, and if I couldn't find somebody to give me an honest answer that was qualified, I'd do my own reading and research. It's available. Get off your butt and read. That would be one of the smartest things you could do for yourself, your children, your family, yourself, generally, in any spectrum or sector of life. I would tell you, get off your butt and read, because you can read the writings of the most qualified scientists, not the whack jobs, the most qualified scientists in the world regularly publish their opinions, except in cases where they're afraid to, because they're afraid of getting killed. Why would any doctor, if the system was legitimate and the system wasn't rigged, why would any doctor even remotely fear getting killed? And yet they are afraid of getting killed. But many are brave and they speak the truth publicly. And so what they discovered is that there's a whole series of diseases and potential medical conditions that a person may not even have in any detectable form. But what happens is after they get the vaccination, not everybody, it's a percentage. After they get the vaccination, they're getting their arteries clogged, their problems with their capillaries and their blood vessels, and they're getting strange heart attacks. And all these things are totally out of the normal of people in their age and especially their physical shape. And there's other systems of diseases in other organ areas of the body that can create, that generate other very serious problems. And then on top of that, there are, I'll call them accusations because I'm not a doctor, but there are the accusations by a certain number of doctors whose credentials appear to be unbelievable, or who have had jobs as professional medical researchers with either some of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the world or institutions like the World Health Organization, the Centers for Disease Control, et cetera, et cetera. There are some really high-level people in those institutions who have come forward and publicly issued warnings over the, let's just call them, they're not calling them this, but I'll call them this, over the alleged side effects that these doctors allegedly believe caused all these problems. So in other words, there's a growing list of medical problems, serious ones, medical conditions. Some of them are fatal. There's a whole list, and it's growing, of the deadly and serious after effects that are occurring to men and women in a large spectrum of ages, who are having very serious medical episodes that require immediate hospitalization, emergency room visits, and all kinds of technical equipment and stuff to keep them alive. But that's all being hushed up. I talk, being in the business I'm in and being in the ministry that I'm in, I regularly talk to a lot of people. And the conversations are almost always private. And they know that, and I know that. And it never goes beyond the small circle of people who are talking. But I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who've told me they're absolutely terrified, not of the virus, but they're terrified of having to go to the hospital in fear. And I don't know if it's a rational fear or not, but they are convinced that they're in fear of going to the hospital because they're afraid of getting some COVID test in which it appears to indicate that a person has COVID. And I've done enough reading on this myself to know that many people who, when they get the COVID test, the test reveals that they have the COVID virus, but that test is by no means accurate. And it could be as high as 50% or more of the people who are getting these COVID tests, which are, you know, and I'll double check that figure, that are on the average 50% inaccurate. In other words, they're not reliable, accurate tests. So you've got tons of people pouring through the doors of hospitals and other COVID, you know, inoculation centers. They're tested for COVID. And a huge percentage of them that are tested for COVID, the COVID test reveals that they have COVID. And then they get ushered in and they're told you need to get a shot, a COVID vaccination shot right away. And people are pressured, psychologically manipulated to immediately have the COVID shot. Well, weeks later, it turns out, when some of this stuff has been challenged and further research was conducted and further tests were conducted to find out if indeed that person ever did have COVID, the virus, in the first place, it turns out that a huge percentage of the people who got the test, that the test was totally inaccurate. They didn't need to get the vaccine at all. Because they never had the COVID virus to begin with. So people are terrified of being misdiagnosed, or they're even terrified of being diagnosed with COVID, and their greatest fear is being hooked up to one of these ventilators, because, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'll issue a retraction, but I have read that the percentage numbers of people that were put in those ventilator boxes that was supposed to help them breathe if they had COVID, that the percentage of people who died in the boxes that they forced the patients to go into to help them breathe, those were death boxes. They were like little concentration camp coffins. They were killing an astronomical number of people. So the astronomical number of people who were dying weren't dying from COVID, weren't dying from the COVID vaccination. They were dying from the ventilator boxes. Now, God forbid you go into a hospital with loose lips and you say the wrong thing to somebody. Here would be something really stupid to say. And I'm only saying it that way as a slap in the face, because you would never want to say it this way, because the minute you start talking in the language they use, you're stepping on the conveyor belt to their kind of COVID treatment, which involves ventilators, which can be deadly. So if you go into the hospital and you tell the nurse or the doctor, and you start out by saying, "I think I have COVID. I think I have all the," and you list all the symptoms that you have. So they're not going to do much of a test if you have already convinced them. I mean, many will do the test because that's their job. But there are a certain percentage that will not do the thorough test because you just sold them, just like a salesman. You just sold them on the myth that you have COVID, the virus, but in actuality, you don't. By the time you were finished telling the doctor and the nurses and everybody else that you had all the symptoms of COVID, you had them psychologically convinced that you had COVID. So the next thing you know, you're being wheeled into a room with tubes up your nose or whatever. And they're sticking you in a ventilator box, or at some point they'll stick you in a ventilator box to help your breathing. But the problem with the ventilator box is it kills people. It's a killing machine. Okay, we've talked about all this. It's important. I don't know about you, but I am telling you privately, a whopping percentage of friends and associates that I know that I've had private conversations with have told me they've almost all used the exact same words. We, my husband and I, we are absolute, this is what they say, and they're not kidding, we are absolutely terrified of having to go to the hospital. And then they say, we're not afraid of the COVID virus, we're not afraid of the COVID vaccination. They said, we are terrified that they will force us into one of those COVID ventilator boxes and we'll die. We'll suffocate to death. Who in our government, in the World Health Organization, and the Center for Disease Control, and Big Pharma, and the big medical organizations, and the manufacturers of the COVID ventilators, who in all these billion-dollar institutions is guarding the hen house? Who is functioning properly as the guardian of the safety and health of the American people? Oh, we know there's trillions of dollars being spent on lawyers and PR firms and people they can buy to cover up what's really going on. Oh yeah, they got trillions of dollars spent for that. And they're erecting the equivalent of the Berlin Wall to keep lawyers or doctors or patients from suing them for medical malpractice. So the point is, the very institutions that were designed, that the reason why you elected whoever you elected into the offices they have was to look out after the interests of you, your family, and your loved ones. And they're not doing that, largely. A lot of them are not doing that because they're on the take. They're getting paid off, or they're being threatened that they will lose their jobs if they speak out. Either way, whether they're on the take or they're under threats of being fired, terminated, and all kinds of stuff. Those are serious threats. They terrify people. So, what is the answer? The answer is, we have to vote. First of all, we have to pray. And when I say we have to pray, I don't mean fake prayer like saying, I'm going to pray, but you don't pray. That's not a prayer. That's just lying to God. You could add that in the confession part in your worship to God. If you choose to call that confession, confessing to the Lord your sins, I think the Lord would accept that. But if that's the beginning of your prayer, that's no prayer at all. Because what you're simply doing is you're starting by telling the Lord that you are participating in lies, which may very well potentially cause people to die, get heart attacks, get serious diseases. There's so many diseases and after effects and side effects revolving around both the COVID virus and the COVID vaccinations and the treatments, etc. And by you participating in the cover-up and the silence, you need to be able to say when you're praying to the Lord, you need to begin with a confession of personal sin. Lord, forgive me for lying. Forgive me for lying. And then you need to do what you can with wisdom. With wisdom. You know, being a martyr is fine, but God only calls some people specifically to martyrdom. Martyrdom is a last resort, by the way. Martyrdom is when you come to a place of powerlessness and you can't do anything else but be a martyr of your job, of your life, or whatever. Martyrdom is a last resort. It's the ultimate retreat. So let's ask the question that, of course, is never asked in Christian circles. Because believe me, I've been in Christian circles coming out of atheistic circles for decades. And there are many questions which are never asked in Christian circles. It's a taboo. And one of the questions that are never asked in Christian circles is to really probe deeply for the truth. Don't accept superficial answers. Don't accept cover-up stories in exchange for the truth. And keep diving deeper and deeper until you uncover the whole truth and the real facts. So here it is. We live in the United States of America. We, the people, we elected our representatives, politicians on both sides of the table. We have all these monumental health institutions, etc. We have, you know, again, the National Center, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control. We have vaccination centers. We have the big pharmaceutical companies that pull in trillions of dollars a year. We have the medical, pharmaceutical, industrial complex. It's a megalithic monster of power and lawyers and trillions of dollars that comes from your tax dollars. Plus, they make big, big money on your treatment. And they make even bigger, bigger money if they... I have heard, so I'm going to call it an allegation. It has been alleged to me by people in the know that there is a lot of pressure on doctors and other medical professionals to usher people through the system, give them the most expensive treatment, because that's the way Big Pharma makes its money, give the most expensive medicine, because that's a moneymaker for Big Pharma, buy you know, millions of ventilators, because that's a huge money maker for big pharma and big medicine. And nobody's keeping an account of how many deaths the ventilators cause. All they care about is that it's a big money maker. And then, of course, the COVID itself is a big money maker. The COVID injections, you were told initially, you just have to get one. And now you got, it's like every time you go to get gas, you got to get a COVID vaccination injection, because that's a big, big money maker. So it's a big, big money maker. And that money is sliding into the wallets of politicians and bureaucrats and everything else. Okay, so let's look at reality squarely in the face. We have a nation that was set up originally that should theoretically have these legal protections already built into place that are designed to protect us first, the American people. We, the people, are supposed to be the highest priority in terms of medical protection, et cetera, et cetera. But we're not. If you look at the American medical system, which despite all its problems, is still probably the best medical system in the world, but that doesn't excuse the obscenities and atrocities that are going on. So in America, you have these gigantic financial institutions and globalist institutions and everything else, and they're making billions and trillions of dollars, not by protecting the health or the immune system, not by really curing diseases. They make their money by helping you maintain your disease and make you dependent upon their technology or pills or whatever. See, they can't make their big profits. There's no financial incentive regarding any of these giant health organizations. They have no financial incentive at all to cure you, to heal you of your disease or condition or whatever you want to call it. That doesn't make them the big bucks. What makes them the big bucks is the longer they can keep you in medical limbo, as long as they can keep you attached to their system that treats you just a little bit, then you are an open wallet to that medical system. So the whole medical system really is designed to keep people at a lower standard of health, enough to keep you alive, but not enough to make the quality of your life vibrant and healthy and enjoyable. They keep you in that dependent state upon their drugs, their machinery, their medications, their prescriptions, etc., etc. Notice how they never cure very much. I mean, really look at it from the big picture. How many diseases do you hear of that they cure? Very little. It'd be interesting to know exactly how little it is. But I suspect that the amount of actual cures that all these giant medical pharmaceutical companies come up with is next to nothing. In other words, they cure next to nothing. Because again, if they actually successfully cure you of the disease, they stop milking you for cash. Right now, you're a cash cow for them. So, like cancer. How many years have they been raising money for cancer? How many years have people been dying of cancer? Excruciatingly painful deaths. I had a very good friend die for cancer. I went to visit him often in one of the most prestigious medical hospitals in LA with the best doctors in it. This place was filthy. It was unsanitary. Minimal methods of sanitation were not being enforced. This was like the number one prestigious hospital in California and one of the top hospitals in the United States. I was terrified of catching a disease because there was germs everywhere. Because they didn't wipe anything down with antiseptics. They didn't have like those enclosure sheets, you know, kind of isolating one patient from the other. They didn't mop down or spray with antibacteriological sprays. There are so many technological devices that have been invented for 50 years that they could be using. I used to have an advertiser on my previous radio program who sold air purifier devices that used ozone. And the interesting thing about ozone is that it purifies the air of pollutants and stuff like that. But ozone in the air, and the particular design is of this purifier, killed all the bacteria and germs and viruses left on tables, floating in the air, floating between people where they're talking. Based on how powerful this machine is and how powerfully it actually kills germs in the air, the bathroom, breathing, utensils. The first thing I asked myself when I went into my friend's hospital room, this is the best hospital in the United States. Any hospital I have been to or emergency room I've been to in the United States, I have never, ever seen even once these air purifier systems, the really good ones that utilize ozone, or they can utilize other components, and they massively kill germs, viruses, pollutants, and bacteria. So we all know that when you go to the hospital, the chances are very likely you're going to come home sick. That's how bad it is. It's a disease incubation center. And so I'm looking around the hospital, and I never see these purifiers. And I say, why not? The thing works. I've heard doctors say that the thing works. It's a cheap way to stop the spread of disease inside hospitals and doctors' offices, which in itself is a massive spreader of viruses and bacteria and diseases. But you never see it used. Why? Because that's not on big pharma and the big medical industry's menu. For whatever reason, they would rather have people sick and fill them with pills and breathing machines than protect their air to begin with. It's an abuse. It's something that is criminal, in my opinion. Now, let's take it a step further. That should be used. It should be mandatory. It should be mandatory in subways and buses. No, it's not going to stop every disease. But look, if on the average subway car or the average bus or the average school classroom, let's just say hypothetically, it reduces the spread of disease and get people getting the disease, let's say minimally, it stops the spread of diseases by 60%. Well, that's a huge victory. And most likely it would probably work by 75%. That's a massive victory. But you don't see it anywhere. So the institutions that we vote for and that we use our taxes for to defend and protect our health and our livelihood, et cetera, are not standing up and defending us. They have corrupted themselves internally because most of these big, giant medical, pharmaceutical, disease control, and on, all these giant and some of them global institutions, they're all receiving under the table or through some quasi-legal mirage, they're all receiving trillions of dollars of money to shut up and keep the system going so that it continues to make money with the people that own the big pharmaceutical, medical companies, et cetera, et cetera. That is the root of the problem. And it's the root of every other problem in America right now. We have tier after tier of bureaucrats and politicians that quite simply are on the take. And the corruption stinks to high heaven. And everybody ignores it. But then when a crisis comes along, like COVID, and then their kids and their grandparents and people they love, like their husbands or wives, when they start dropping dead or developing brain problems or heart problems or all kinds of serious problems, then it isn't funny, is it? No, it's not funny at all. Where are our protectors? Our protectors, for the most part, I'm not saying everybody, there are many professionals in every field with the highest degrees of integrity. But they have to watch their back. Let's be honest. They have to watch their back because there's a target on them. Now, what's the bottom line here? What's the takeaway? The takeaway and the bottom line is the reason we have this corruption that is affecting so many sectors of our society, especially big pharma and disease and the pharmaceutical companies and big medical companies. The reason we have such corruption and such a systemic failure and total breakdown in our medical system, the reason for that is not abstract, obscure, or unknowable. The reason is very simple. They have been corrupted from within by big money. I'm talking about trillionaire money has been pumped into these medical institutions of all kinds, hospitals, doctors, offices, etc., etc. Massive cash inflows have been poured into these institutions for decades so that they will accomplish their primary goal, which is to keep the patient at a moderate level of health, a moderate level of stability, but never actually cure the disease or the problem at its root. So the goal is to keep the person alive so they can continually consume the treatments, the drugs, the medications. That's what brings in billions and billions of dollars in profits. But the unspoken rule of the game is that it is their agenda, it is their true goal to keep people on a treadmill of constant sickness and disease and debilitation. And that's why we never hear of cures of anything. I'm sure there are some, but they're almost non-existent. I can't tell you how many times I've been in an office building and I've seen suites, you know, the women's cure for cancer and organizations like this. And yet cancer has never been cured. It's never been close to being cured. Are you telling me that we don't already have a cure for cancer and probably 100 other critical diseases impacting our nation? Are you telling me we don't already have a cure for cancer with all the money we've spent to develop a cure for cancer? Of course we have a cure for cancer. We have a cure for Alzheimer's. We have a cure for dementia. We have a cure for ADD. We have a cure for diabetes. We have cures for all of this stuff. You say, how do you know? I don't know for a fact. Well, then how dare you say this over the radio? I'm saying it over the radio for this reason. Number one, I'm not an idiot. Neither are you. Number two, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out after spending trillions and trillions of dollars over a period of 60 years to cure a whole list of these ever-present diseases, it's more than odd we never end up curing any of these diseases. Any rational mind would have to tell you that either every single one of these institutions and organizations dedicated to the curing of diseases, either they're totally incompetent or they're totally dishonest. And their real goal is to keep the cash flow in, not to have, because if they cure, look, if all these companies and institutions actually did cure cancer or diabetes or whatever, if they actually did cure that, all these people would be out of jobs overnight. All these corporations and the billions of dollars would dry up overnight. They would not be needed anymore. The whole thing is a hustle, a giant hustle. Okay, so what do? You need to personally get educated and informed. And then you need to participate in the system, in society. You need to become law-abiding and peacefully aggressive. You must exert unusual pressure, unusual non-violent, peaceful, law-abiding force on the powers that be, because they're not going to do what you want them to do willingly. They're going to hide and run and hide every chance they get. The only way that you can make the political establishment and all these institutions that are funded by billions of dollars, the only way that you can properly motivate them to do what they claim what they want to do, such as cure the diseases, get rid of the pharmaceuticals and the equipment that are killing people, do a total reform of the entire medical system. I don't have the time right now to tell you the history of the medical system and how it really began with Rockefeller and a guy he simply called doctor who was an assistant to his father's friend, the senior Rockefeller. You know what this goes back a long time ago. The senior Rockefeller, you know what his job was? He was literally a snake oil salesman. That's a guy who has a carton sold like magic potions. And a lot of times it would be stuff like sugar water with cocaine in it or whatever. Snake oil salesman. And people bought the stuff. It might cure their pain, but it didn't medically cure them. So that's the caliber of Rockefeller. And by the way, that particular Rockefeller mysteriously went on from being a snake oil salesman to establishing and founding massive oil refineries, which have now become the largest oil companies in the world. Massive. They're worth trillions of dollars. And he was a snake oil salesman. And when he began to build his empire, and by this time he had become a super millionaire, well on to becoming a super billionaire, he brought in as his assistant, because his goal was to set up basically, allegedly, a phony medical organization, which would become an organization like the American Medical Association. And he listed on his brochure his name with the word doctor in front of it, but he was not a doctor. And then he also listed the name of his father's associate, of the snake oil salesman. And he too was given the prefix doctor because Rockefeller's father was a snake oil salesman. So essentially two snake oil salesmen created an organization similar to the American Medical Association. And their first and foremost goal was to take control of all medicine, pharmaceuticals, hospitals, and turn it into a massive money-making machine to generate billions of dollars of profit for the Rockefeller family. And then on top of that, they wanted to, because they were in the oil and petroleum manufacturing business, they made sure, these guys are very smart, very devious, they made sure that a massive percentage of the products and inventions that our society used were all totally dependent on oil production, petroleum production, so they could transform it into things like plastic bottles, which are petroleum-based, bottles for lotion, rubber for tires. There must be a million different essential products, saran wrap, a million different essential products, which all are produced through the sale of petroleum and oil, including many things in medicine. When you look at your average pill, many pills, the medicine is inside a little tiny bullet-shaped plastic container of two different colors. That plastic container that encloses or encapsulates the medicine, it's made out of petroleum. And we could go on and on and on. So they, by stealth, over a period of decades, they created an American Medical Association, and it had to operate according to their rules, their doctors, et cetera, et cetera. But you see, their rules, their doctors, their medical laws, their procedures, their hospitals, their whole medical system became a brand new medical system birthed within an already existing medical system. The difference, the major difference was their medical system was built entirely for the purpose of profit. I mean, nobody's going to come out and say that, but that's what it was. It was their medical system was built entirely for the purpose of profit, and they had no intention, no plan, no design, no money set aside to cure anything. This sounds like Dr. Frankenstein, I know. But the problem is, there's a lot of facts that point in that direction. And it sounds like evil beyond evil. Yeah, I know, it's scary. It's evil beyond the comprehension of evil. To think that you would create a medical system that's cash flow and death was built on allowing people to live at less than optimal health, to keep them alive as long as you could, and then just let them die, with no intention of ever curing them, no money ever spent seriously for an actual cure. That's where we are. Now, if you think that this is strange or in the twilight zone or bizarre, I'm going to be very direct to you, and if you're insulted, I apologize, but I would rather insult you and make sure you got hammered with the truth than be polite and have you walk away and not get the truth. How did this happen? I'll tell you briefly how it happened. Our American Medical Association and much of the doctors and medical procedures and cures and techniques and the science of genetics and the science of eugenics and the entire American medical system was taken directly from Germany and taken directly from Nazi Germany. Now, that'll explain a lot. So the scientists, the doctors, the medical practitioners, the medical researchers, which created the American model for the American Medical Association, originated and was first developed in Nazi Germany with Nazi doctors and Nazi scientists, because they had a different mentality. Hitler's mentality was always, if somebody is inferior genetically, if they're sickly, if they're this or they're that, then they're useless eaters, and we have the full right to send them to the gas chambers or burn them in the ovens and get rid of them. Euthanasia. And Hitler got all of his ideas about euthanasia and killing off the useless eaters from the Rockefeller laboratories in the 1920s that were built in Cold Spring, New York. Those science of eugenic laboratories, Hitler got all their data and information. So the entire science of eugenics, which is killing off the elderly and the useless or the genetically inferior, all of that was stolen by Hitler from the Rockefeller laboratories. And then you have Bayer aspirin, and so many of the giant pharmaceutical companies originate in Germany or Nazi Germany. So they have that mentality. In their mind, they can tolerate total dehumanization of human beings. In their minds, they don't have a problem in killing off a million people for the betterment of the whole. In fact, that's one of their slogans. It's also one of the slogans of communist regimes, that it's acceptable, that it's legitimate to kill off as many people as necessary to accomplish a particular goal, job, or task. So you have the total dehumanization, you have euthanasia, you have genetic engineering. Now, that entire mindset, which includes the abortion mindset too, Hitler was big on abortion, especially if you were not genetically part of his master race. He had no problems in sending you to a concentration camp and killing you off. Hitler killed off millions and millions and millions and millions of people because they were not genetically part of his master race. So this mentality is now and has been in America for decade after decade after decade. You don't hear about it. It's covered up. But there has been experimentation euthanizing African-American people, Hispanic people. Margaret Sanger, who set up the abortion clinics, she was one of the primary champions of euthanasia. She received big financing from Rockefeller. And when you look demographically at where Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, where she would set up the majority of her abortion clinics, they were always in the neighborhoods or the communities with the highest percentage or the highest number of minorities. So like African Americans, Hispanics, Latinos, and other races that they deemed to be genetically inferior races, that's where they planted the majority of their abortion clinics. Because what they wanted to do, plain and simple, was abort, was to kill off all these babies being born to Latin American, Puerto Rican mothers, and African American mothers. They conducted a stealth abortion campaign. When people went to an abortion clinic, if you were African American or Hispanic or whatever they considered to be an inferior race, the statistical probability that you potentially would be killed, but most certainly that your baby would be aborted and killed, statistically, it skyrocketed. That's part of that Nazi mentality. Now we come to the arena of the vaccination. We have countless millions of people being vaccinated, but we have continued reports, and I'll say alleged reports because I'm not a doctor, but we have continued allegations that people who receive, not all people, but that a certain percentage of people that receive the COVID vaccine, are their immune systems have been permanently damaged. And they're, in many cases, worse off than before they received the vaccine. Now, most people can't handle the information, even though it's true. Most people cannot handle in America the acknowledgement and the consciousness in understanding that level of pure evil. It is beyond the mindset of the average American to process or wrap their brain around what I just told you. It simply blows their mind, and they have to say, I don't believe it. That's a lie. That's a conspiracy theory. Why? Because they can't handle it. What I just told you is so contradictory to the average worldview of the average American that they go into an autopilot thinking mode where they simply say, that can't be true. It must be a conspiracy theory. Despite the fact that there are overwhelming facts to substantiate it. So this is what I'm talking about and why the average American can't handle it. The fact of the matter is that many very professional, prolific doctors are telling us that people who have gotten the vaccination for COVID have permanently damaged their immune systems, and they don't know when the damage will erupt. It could be in a month. It could be in 20 years. But it's proportional. This is not the same amount of damage in every person. I'm sure there's many people that will experience no damage. But there's an unusual connection between getting the vaccination and having your immune system lowered, and in the key target areas of certain diseases, like the pulmonary system and other key target areas, people who have had the vaccination, there's a very high percentage, and it's very strange, of people who then get heart attacks, aneurysms, capillary blockages, artery blockages, heart failure, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just statistically too coincidental to say, oh, well, this is just random. No, it's not random. A good doctor would tell you that there's a connection between this explosion of new diseases, especially pulmonary diseases, and whatever the vaccination is doing to the interior of the human body. Okay, I know that's heavy, and I know that's hard to take, but you need to take it. You need to understand it, because if you do not stand up for your rights in a law-abiding, legal, and peaceful way, and if you don't put legal, political pressure on your elected representatives, if you, and especially your church, if your church and your pastor that you think is so great, if they continue on in the modality of being asleep spiritually and not understanding the danger of the hour that we're in, in other words, if you continue on in the path that you have previously been traveling in, you are walking full speed into the gates of hell right now. And if you take all these primary indicators of potential sociological behavior, I can tell you that without a doubt, based on the behavior patterns and the behavior models of the Nazis and others, that the time will come very soon in America where we will be ruled by brute force, and it will be by brute force that it will be demanded of us, whether we like it or not, that we get the vaccinations, that we accept the chip implants and all the technology they want to embed in our brains, bodies, and souls. We will not have a choice to say no. If we say no, based on the lessons of history, we will be sent off to re-education or concentration camps. Why? Because they can't have dissenters openly dissenting. And what they intend, I'm sorry if this is true, and your pastor who loves to talk about love every Sunday, you know, I'm sorry I'm not serenading you with lies, because I'm not. I can't live with myself. I, Paul McGuire, cannot look in the mirror knowing that I have serenaded the people of God with lies. I can't do it. So all the pastors, all the ministries who are encouraging you to turn your brain off, everything is going to be great, and go with the flow, that's not what history tells us that is going to happen. What history tells us, especially the China model, the Russia model, and the Adolf Hitler model, what they teach us is that in totalitarian regimes, which we are quickly becoming, by the way, because when you are forced to do things, you're no longer living in a free nation. And when they start to force us to do things, you're going to have a choice. If you defy them, they're going to take you off in a bus or a train. The historical model is a train. They're going to take you off in a train and send you into a combination prison camp, re-education camp, and a combination concentration camp, prison camp, with not only barbed wire fences, but these are built like supermax prisons, and every single person entering those camps will have an embedded microchip implant in them. So if in the rare chance you manage to hop over the fence or escape in some way, it won't be like in times past. If you manage to escape the guards, the fences, the doors, and the dogs, all they have to do is press a button on in one of their towers, and you're the special coding, just like you can see what your neighbor's Wi-Fi connections are named, like they always have weird names, okay? They all flick on a switch, and your actual body will have built into its DNA structure a sequential code that is only and uniquely yours. Just like if somebody's operating a cell phone and you can tell that on your cell phone. And they'll look on a computer screen and they'll see you as a little red dot, or they may see you via a satellite from above. They'll be able to track where you're running and hiding every 60 seconds on like a Google Earth search map. Now, it's pretty hard to run and it's pretty hard to hide when you're being under surveillance by a technological wireless computer to brain wireless system or computer to satellite wireless system that awaits us. Okay, so the question is, Jesus said to you and all of his people, he said these words. How often do you hear this preached in a church? Very, very, you don't hear it very often. But Jesus commanded you, and he commanded me and his people. He simply said this to us: occupy until I come. If we were to obey that one simple commandment from Jesus Christ, which is occupy until I come, that simply means take control over your community, over your nation, over your society. Because if you do not occupy it for righteousness and godliness, the devil and the demons and those that serve the devil and the demons, if you fail to occupy until he comes, then the devil's crowd and the totalitarians and the dictators, they will occupy it. But when they occupy it, they will occupy it with satanic force, with brutality, with totalitarianism, like the models of Hitler and Chairman Mao, etc., etc. So right now, we are at the crossroads. Time is running out, literally by the minute. You have a choice. If you choose to stay in complacency and pretend that everything I told you is not really happening, you can kiss it goodbye. But if you decide, and it can be private, but if you decide privately that you are going to be somebody who makes a difference and you're going to do everything in your power to intelligently, in a spirit-filled manner, and in a strategic manner, you're going to do everything you can strategically and intelligently to stand up legally and peacefully and rise and counter this, what this essentially is, which is a takeover of your nation and of your freedoms. And the way you prevent takeover of your freedom and your nation is through occupying until he comes. That's what you should be hearing sermons on. That's what you should be meditating on in the Word of God. That's what should be in your conscience. Because the consequences of not doing that is called hell on earth. But if you choose to be obedient to God, and you choose to obey God by occupying until he comes, not only will God honor that, but for every person that makes that inner decision and commitment, you will discover that God will begin to release into your inner man and your inner woman the overwhelming supernatural power of God, the dunamis, the power of the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God, and the anointing of God. In other words, it will not just be you as an ordinary human being going against a Goliath. It will be you that have chosen to become one with the true living God, Jesus, because it's in the name of Jesus you will be supernaturally empowered, supernaturally granted wisdom and guidance, and you will be supernaturally enabled to rise in the power of the Holy Spirit and fight with an anointing and a supernatural strength that your enemy knows nothing about. And so don't even begin to be tempted by thoughts of, you know, what if this happens? What if that had happened? Those are all stupid thoughts. Why don't you ask yourself the intelligent question, which is, if I obey God, doesn't the Bible say that he will bless me? He will energize me. He will empower me. He will anoint me. Of course it does. So what you can expect as a guarantee, if you move out in faith and obedience to Jesus Christ and occupy, then the full power and authority of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ will be released on your behalf. In fact, the armies of heaven will descend upon this physical realm in vast numbers as you choose to obey God. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. Remember, this is not a game. This is not a trial run. This is not a rehearsal. This is called life. You make a good decision, you have the opportunity of great blessing. You cop out and you make the wrong decision, you will pay the price. I need people who are willing to make the right decision. I need people to stand with me with your finances, your donations, your contributions. I need you to stand with me in your intercessory prayers and your prayers for me and my family in this ministry. And I need you to spread the word of our ministry, our programs, and our other communications. I need you to go to paulmcguire.us and spread everything that we have there far and wide. Everything we have on Roku, over 100 hours or more of preaching and everything else, televised, free. And this is just thousands of hours of stuff for you free. All you got to do is spread it. You're just going to plant a seed. But when you plant a seed, you expect a harvest. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. Jesus Christ is Lord.